Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Pastor Kimberly Boss, World of Faith Outreach Ministry, 5370 South Ferry Road. I'm going to say good morning to everyone. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. And, you know, I just want to say that God is good because I had went through a turmoil, with food poisoning, but God brought me out. And I just want to give him the glory this morning because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be this morning. But thank God he was on my side. Thank God that he's a deliverer. When Satan thought he had me, I got away. I thank God. Because let me tell you something. When you trust in the Lord and do good, he said, verily thou shalt be feed. And you know one thing about God? He won't let the enemy have glory over you. He will not let him praise you. He will not let you be ashamed because of what the enemy is trying to do. When the enemy come up on you to eat your flesh, David said in the word that he the one on stumble and fall. So I thank God that the enemy didn't get to eat on my flesh, that he the one that stumbled and fell. And I want to sing just a little bit of this song to you this morning before we get into the word for how good that God is. Because let me tell you something, folks. God, people don't even realize how God is, how magnificent he is, how omnipresent that he is. Amen. I'm telling you, it's just well in my soul. I feel good in my soul because I went through a battle. And really, I just recovered about a week ago. But I thank God I'm getting stronger and stronger every day. God is good. He's good all the time. God is good. He is good all the time. When I didn't know what I was gonna do, God was there to bring me through. God is good all the time. When the enemy thought he had me, God was good. When the enemy thought he had me, my God was good. He thought he's gonna swallow me up. He thought he was gonna take me through. But God was good. God was good. I can tell you my God is good. He's real, real good. My God is good. He's real, real good. I can tell you my God is good. He's real, real good. He's good. He's good, so good to me. You know he brought me out. God is good. He brought me out. My God is so good. He brought me out. My God is God is good. My God is good. That's just a little song that I made up for you. The Lord was so good to me, I had to make up a song for him this morning. Because I'm going to tell you, God, he is good. And there's nothing, amen, that he cannot do. Because I'm going to tell you, God brought me out, church. People don't know what I was battling. But I was battling. I was battling some things in my body. I was battling some things in my mind, spiritually, physically. Battling things financially. And see, people think that, you know, they look on the outside. And they don't know what's going on the inside with you. And, you know, you have to smile. It's just like the tears of a clown. You know, a clown can, you know, make other people laugh. A clown can make other people feel good, you know, because that's their job. But when it comes to the clown, we don't know what he's really going through. And, you know, it's good when you can make other people laugh and make them feel good and tell them what the word of God says. But when it comes to yourself, nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody knows, you know, the troubles that you've seen. Nobody's knowing what you feel. And so that's why I said, you know, it's the tears of a clown. You see, people don't know, but, you know, in the agony of defeat, you're battling some things. You know, people have things they battling. Just because you see them smiling, you might feel like they prospering. You might feel like things going their way. But nobody knows what's going on the inside. But God. And let's look at St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. And let's start at the fourth verse. Matthew, the 24th chapter. And let's start at the fourth verse. I just want to keep thanking God because nobody knows. You know, when God bring you out of something, I'm telling you, you just can't do nothing but give him the glory. That's why I don't understand when people go through things, how do they give God the glory? They act like they just unthankful. They act like, you know, yeah, it's nothing. But I'm telling you, if it's just a little thing to me, I just thank God. Okay, and it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. This was Jesus talking to the disciples, telling them, take heed. He was letting them know, listen, you better be well. Be careful. Take heed that no man deceive you. That means no man. And it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive men. A lot of people going to come to them when they come from God, or God sent them. And that's how people going to get deceived. And that's what's going on in the world now. Because remember, God said that he was going to allow Satan to be let loose for 1,000 years, that he's going to deceive the nation. And so we already know that already in the prophecy that Satan was going to be let loose and be able to deceive the nations for 1,000 years. And it says, and ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And we done seen all that. We done seen these wars and these rumors of wars, and we done seen different tragedies in other countries and other towns and cities. And we've also seen where people are hungry and they desolate. And we see where a lot of places have been destroyed from water and flood and all kind of volcanoes and all kind of people in wars and fighting. So we know that all this stuff is already happening, that the word of God is already being fulfilled. And it says, and these are the beginning of sorrow. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. They're going to become after the Christians, God's people, and they're going to deliver us up because they're going to hate us. And they're going to turn us over to the enemy. And we're going to be delivered up and they're going to afflict us. That means they're going to be trying to torture us. They're going to begin to try to damage us and tear us down and lie on us. We're going to go through a lot of afflictions as being Christians. But the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him out of them all. God's going to bring us out of all our afflictions. David said, I was young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed beg and beg. So it does not matter what we go through, the afflictions that we go through, but one thing about it, God is going to bring us out. God said he's not going to never leave us or forsake us. He's going to be with us to the end of the world. And one thing about God, he said, if I be for you, who can be against you? When you got God on your side, that's all you really need. Let's look at the 10th verse. It says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. People already being offended over things. And being offended, they begin to betray one another and hate one another because they done got offended over something. This ain't nothing but the prophecy of the Bible fulfilling itself, telling us how Satan is deceiving us, having us betray one another because we're getting offended over different things.
being said and different things that's being done. It's just showing us how that Satan is coming in trying to feed the nation, how he's trying to feed God's people, how he's trying to separate us from one another. But the Bible says that God's not the author of confusion. That's what we got to remember. God is not the author of confusion. Okay? And then it says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We got so many people wanting to go out here and prophesy. They'll tell you what thus saith the Lord. The Lord said this. The Lord said, God said, I ain't told them to say nothing. God said, they ran, I told them to run. God said, they said, I said this, and I didn't tell them to say this. See, we got to know God's word. That's why so many people are getting confused, and so many people falling by the wayside, and so many people don't know God's voice because why? They don't know the words. You got to know the word in order to fight the devil. If you don't know your word, you're not going to know how to fight the devil. That's your sword. That sword, which is the word of God. Remember when God told Satan, when he was trying to tempt him up on the mountain, he told him, he said, get hence behind me. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, all he had to do was tell Satan to go where he's supposed to be at, behind him. And a lot of times we don't tell Satan to go get behind us. We don't put him up under our feet where he belongs. Some of us, Satan walking on top of our feet. He's leading and guiding us. Some of us, Satan is in front of us leading us when he's supposed to be behind us. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that love us. Satan is a defeated foe. We've already got the victory. All we have to do is send the word according to God. We speak the word. Okay. And it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And let me tell you, so much sin that's in the lives of people, in the lives of the saints of God. And that's why their love is wax cold. They don't have no love. They don't have no compassion for nobody else. They only have it for themselves. And you got to have love to defeat the devil. That's one of the weapons, one of the tools that you got to have to defeat the devil. You got to have love. And your joy got to be full. That means the joy of the Lord is your strength. It says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Don't you know, when you endure to the end, you're going to be saved. When you keep on loving people, keep on doing what God wants you to do, keep on holding up the bloodstained battle, keep on walking in victory, keep on doing what God wants you to do, keep on watching, keep on praying, because he said, watch well and pray. For you know not the hour that the Son of Man cometh. The Bible has told us that he's going to come like a thief in the night. And remember, the thief, you know, he come when he thinks you're asleep. He come when you think that your guard is down. He come when he think you ain't got no weapons. And see, that's why you got to keep your weapons, amen, of joy and peace and love and prayer. And you got to forgive one another. Those are your weapons against Satan. And when you put your weapons down and you don't have your weapons, that's how Satan come in and destroy you. That's how he come and rob you. He rob you of everything that God gave you. He give you your joy. God give you peace. He give you love. He give you all good things that come from above. It comes from God. And see, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to put those things down. He wants to put forgiveness down. He wants us to put down how that we're supposed to come and work together, how that we're supposed to be as one. See, that's what he wants, because a house divided won't stand. So he knows if he can divide the house, he knows if he can allow you to put your weapons down, and you don't have to put them down but one time. He's going to come in with something. He's going to come in with trying to tell you to hate somebody, not love somebody, not forgive somebody. See, that's his M.O. That's what he does. And that's the reason why we got to pray. We got to stand. We got to be still and know that it is God that made us and not we ourselves. That's why we're supposed to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. That's why we're supposed to murmur. We ain't supposed to complain about things. We're supposed to rejoice. And the Bible, like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You're supposed to be glad to walk into the house of God. You don't supposed to go walking into the house of God like you don't want to be there, like God ain't did nothing for you. So you had to put your weapon down. Because why? You ain't got no joy when you walk in the house of God. So you done laid down your tools. You allow Satan to come in, and he come and rob you. Because why? He said, okay, I got the joy. They ain't got it. They done laid it down. They cursing now. They done laid it down. They ain't talking about you no more, Lord. They done laid the weapons that you gave them down. And then, you know, what did Satan do? He wants you to pick up his weapon. When you don't do the positive, you're going to do the opposite of the positive. You're going to do the negative. And that's the reason why you got to fight. You got to fight. A lot of times people ain't fighting. They just throwing in the towel. People just giving up. They just walking away from the gospel. And the Bible says better that that man not even been born. When you don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ and you don't put your hands to something and you looking back, the Bible says you ain't fit for the kingdom of heaven. How you going to put your hands to something of God and then just throw it down and just go back out in the world like it ain't been nothing to you? Don't you know how dangerous that is? Satan want to come and get you right then and there while you out there doing his work. That's what God needs. He said the harvest is ripe, but the labor's a few. People ain't out there in the vineyard no more working for God. They out there working for the devil. They out there destroying people's lives. They out there separating people, bringing gossip back, bringing mess back in people's lives. And God wants us to come together. He wants to speak with one mouth. He wants to have one heart. He said, ain't but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism in us all and through us all. Ain't but one. If you got any other God, then it ain't Jesus Christ. Because ain't but one Lord, ain't but one faith. Ain't no other faith, ain't but one faith. God told us, one baptism. You're supposed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, you ain't got time for no mess. Because the baptism of God, that's the blood of Jesus. And it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Ain't no unrighteousness in you when you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Because his blood is purified. It's holy. It didn't know no sin. Neither was no gal found in his mouth. Jesus didn't even, he didn't do nothing. He come here. He was without sin. So when his blood began to come into us and he began to cleanse us, that means that we are clean. We are pure. We holy. Because he said, be holy as I am holy. He didn't have nothing in his blood. Let's look at the 14th verse, the 24th of Matthew. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. See, this is when the end's going to come, when the gospel has been preached in all the world and been a witness to all nations. That means God ain't going to leave nobody out. I don't care what kind of language you speak. I don't care what country you in, what other side of the world you in. People might not have heard of you. People might have heard of you. The Bible said that it's going to be preached in all the world. The word of God is fulfilling itself. The end is almost near. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven is near. It's right at our mouth. All we got to do is confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and that he forgave us for our sins. We're supposed to be leading people to Christ, not leading them away from Christ, but we're too busy leading people away from the Lord. We can't go out here and have friends and we drink and drug with them and we lay down with them, have intimacy with them, and then think they're going to come to God. You're supposed to be witnessing to them. But we want to have a sidekick. We want to have a buddy. And then when we want to say something to them, then we can't because, why? They know all our little secrets. First thing they say, you can't tell me nothing. You did this. You did that. That's why your deeds supposed to be done in the what? Light. The Bible said men love darkness rather than they love light. That's why their deeds are done in darkness. That means your life is here with Christ. You no longer your own. You was bought with a price. You don't have nothing to hide. That's what that means. That means everything that you do, people can see it. You ain't got nothing hidden. You don't have no hidden agenda. You ain't doing nothing in the dark. You ain't doing nothing that people will end up finding out later. Because why? Your life is in the light. That means your deeds are done in the light. That means you ain't doing nothing crooked. You ain't sleeping around behind nobody's back. You ain't talking behind nobody's back. You ain't going to the nightclubs. You ain't sneaky drinking and smoking and drugging. That means everything that you're doing is doing in the light. That means that your life is an open book. That means anybody can read you. And a lot of times people are not going to go into a church. They're going to read you. You're going to be that book that they read. You're going to be that living epistle. See, Paul, he's dead. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those epistles are dead. Those are dead epistles. But we are living epistles. We are people that people can see. Our life is supposed to be a light. So when people are in darkness, they'll come to that light. They know they can come to us, that we are good. It's something that they can see. They know that we are pure. They'll know that we are holy. And that's the reason why God needs people that's walking in the light and not in the darkness. We're supposed to be that city that sits up on the hill that can't be hid, that candle that you put up under a bush that will still be burning bright. People can still see it. That means you can't hide it. People can say what they want, but one thing about when people are living right, people know when people are really living right. They know who they can really run to. They know who they can really talk to. People can say what they want. But like we always tell you that people, you are known by the fruit that you bear. That's just like when you know somebody that gossip, that's a fruit. That's not a good fruit. That fruit is corrupted. And you know that person. You identify them. You be like, oh, there come that gossiping person. All they do is talk about people. All they do, they messy. See, that's your fruit. People know you by what you do. The Bible said even a child is known by its doing. You'll know if that child is bad. You'll know if that child is disrespectful. You'll know if that child is disobedient. The same way it is with us saints. You are known by the fruit that you bear. Your fruits are your witnesses. They was what witness to people for you. They let people know how you are, whether you good or whether you bad, whether you come, your intentions are coming to do what's right, or whether your intentions are coming to do what's wrong. That's the reason why people know you by your fruits. You ever seen people when they go, and sometimes you see people, and they say, well, they go to drug dealers. They know by their fruit. They deal drugs. That's how people know who you are. Just like they're supposed to be a pastor. They're like, there go Pastor so-and-so, because they know by the fruits that they bear. They are pastoring the church. And they know whether you're a good pastor. They know whether you're a bad pastor. They know whether you're a messy pastor. They know you by your fruits that you bear. And you ain't going by what nobody else say about the pastor. You're supposed to know them by their work. The Bible said, know them that labor among you. You're supposed to know their labor. Not nobody else telling you their labor. You're supposed to know them. You can't call an apple tree an orange tree, and you can't call an orange tree an apple tree. Because it's known by the fruit that they bear. Only an apple tree can bring forth apples. Only an orange tree can bring forth oranges. So we're known by the fruit that we bear, whether people tell us or not. People know what kind of fruit that you bear. If you come and you always gossiping and talking about people, they know who you are. But the Bible letting us know that a many going to come in and saying that they in Christ. Come and saying they were sin in Jesus' name. Many people going to deceive God's people. And God's people don't have no business being deceived. They don't have no business letting the devil fool them. Because we're supposed to have on the whole armor of God. We're supposed to be baptized with the Spirit of God. We're supposed to have the spirit of discernment to discern whether this person is coming for good or whether they're coming for bad. That's one thing about God's Spirit. It'll let you know a person's intention because it knows your intention, it knows your thoughts, and it knows the heart. And one thing about God's Spirit, it knows if you have the heart of God. It knows whether you don't have the heart of God. It knows whether you have the Spirit of God. The Bible said, try the Spirit by the Spirit and see if it's of God. And one thing about God's Spirit, it's not going to work against itself. It's going to work together. Because the Bible said all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. See, we have purpose when we are in God. Our purpose is life. Our purpose is to bring people to the Lord. Our purpose is to do things good. Our purpose is to live right, to talk right, to walk right, to serve God. See, we have purposes when we come on earth. Your purpose is not to come here and do wrong. Your purpose is not to come and let the enemy defeat you. The purpose is you to walk by faith and not by sight. The purpose is you, it's to work while it's day, because when night comes, no man can work. The purpose is that we serve God. The purpose is that we pray unto God. The purpose is that we love one another as God has loved us. The purpose is that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. The purpose is that we are supposed to be going to a place where God has already prepared a place, that where he's already at, that we're going also. The purpose is that we lift up the name of Jesus. The purpose is that we glorify God. The purpose is that we are God's people, and that we are, amen, a people that understand, and that we have God's knowledge, and that we are walking in his holiness and his righteousness. The purpose is that we are coming together to be as one. The purpose is that we are, amen, that bring people to Christ, and we are to be as one. That's the purpose of God, is that we are getting people ready for the kingdom. That means we walking right, we talking right, we doing right before them. We showing them how that God's people are supposed to come together, and they supposed to work together. How that we are supposed to serve God, and we supposed to serve him with our whole heart, not with just our lips, but with our heart. And when your heart is in something, that means you're going to do it with everything that you got. And that means if nobody else don't do it, you're going to do it. That means you're going to put all your strength to it. See, a lot of times people don't put all their strength to God's purpose or to God's will or to the word of God. And that's the reason why they're being defeated. But when your heart is in it, it will not allow you to give up. When your heart is in it, you can't not be defeated. When your heart is in it, that means that you're going to do everything that you're supposed to do, even if you got to do it by yourself. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for heartfelt people. He's looking for people that's going to give him a heart service. He just don't want your mouth. He's tired of people's mouth. He's tired of them saying, I'm going to do this for the Lord and I'm going to do that. And that's the reason why people ain't doing it, because they're speaking with their mouth and not with their heart. Heart service people. That means your attention is coming for what's good and what's right. You ain't coming for no mess. God is looking for that type of people. Don't let nobody deceive you. You coming to serve God for yourself. You're going to be judged by yourself. The Bible says he's going to judge every man according to his own works. You're not going to be judged according to nobody else's works. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't work out nobody else's. Do good to them that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you for his name's sake. For great is your reward in heaven. You got a reward in heaven. Keep on fighting. Keep on holding up the bloodstained banner. Because you got a crown. You got a crown of life just waiting for you. People are like they giving up. They wait until it's almost time for Jesus to come in. So many people falling by the wayside. So many people just ain't serving God no more. But I'm telling you, God is real. He's real, church. And we got to keep on fighting. Don't let the enemy win. Let's come together and serve God. By serving God, that means we're going to love one another. We're going to come together and work together with one another. That means we're going to forgive one another. And we're going to hope for one another. And we're going to pray for one another. Don't let the enemy use us. Put him in his place where he belongs. Put him up under your feet. Put him behind you. Send him back to hell from which he come from. Tell him he don't have no rule, no dominion over you. Oh, ye of little faith. God said, I give every man a measure of faith. And God is trying to measure out some faith to us because he wants us, amen, to bring people unto him. He wants us to live right so people will be drawn unto him. That's how you draw people to God, by you living right, doing right, treating one another right, talking right. Separate yourself from the unclean thing. He said, and come out from among them. He said, then you shall be my people. Then I shall be your God. Some things is not keeping us with God. It's separating us from God. That's why God don't hear some of our prayers, because we have some uncleanness in us. Oh, I wish I had more time just to tell you what God is saying. Because I'm telling you, he's doing a work on me, and I thank God for it. I thank God for working on me first, because I want to be real, church. Time out for people drawing people away from God. Time out for people making God look like he ain't real, making God look like he don't care, making God look like he false. God needs somebody to come and work for his purpose, for his goodness. We're going to go into a word of prayer. Father, I thank you right now, God, because we know, God, that you're good, and you're good all the time, God. And we thank you, God, because, God, anything is not like us, Father. We ask that you move it out, Father. And, Father, we ask you that you reconcile us back to you, God. Reconcile us back to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Where the enemy that come and separate us from one another. Where the enemy that came and lied to us to one another. Amen. And God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you find anything that's not like you, Father. Take it out, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord Jesus. And Father, God, we ask you to purify us, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, make us whole, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, you said, Lord Jesus, that our tongues will be like a tree of life. We will have a wholesome tongue, Lord. And Lord, we will speak prosperity in our brothers and sisters' life. Father, we speak, Lord Jesus, love and peace and tranquility in our brothers and sisters' life. God, we speak, Lord Jesus, Lord, that the people of God, Lord Jesus, that their eyes will be opened up, Father, that you'll take the blindness from their heart that Satan is trying to put on them, Father, and let them hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, God. Let them come together and be as one, God. Let us walk and grow in your grace, Lord Jesus. And Father, don't let us be tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine by the slate of man, Father. But God, plant us like trees, God, by the rivers of water. Don't let us be moved, God. But God, let us stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Father, let us lift up our heads, O ye gates. And you said the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. But Lord, you said the battle is not ours, but it's yours, Lord Jesus. You said vengeance is mine, God. And God, we give every battle over to you, God. Everything that Satan tried to throw at us, Father, we throw it back to him in the name of Jesus. And we send it back to the pits of hell from where it comes from. He don't have no intentions over us. He don't have no motivations on us, God, in the name of Jesus. We are God's property in the name of Jesus. And God, we're going to stand together, Father, and we're going to hold up the bloodstained battle, and we're going to fight the good fight of faith, Lord Jesus. And God, we're going to stand in your justice, Father. We're going to stand in your righteousness, Lord Jesus. And God, we just give you the praise, Lord Jesus, for everything that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And we just thank God. Amen. Because we know that prayer changes things. And we thank you for the changes, Lord Jesus, that you're bringing in people's lives. We thank you for the changes that you're bringing in their families, Father. We thank you for the changes that you're bringing in the churches, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we just thank you for the changes, Lord, that you're bringing on jobs, that you're bringing in homes, that you're bringing in children, grandchildren, Lord Jesus, in the prisons, Lord, in the hospitals, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for prayer, Lord Jesus. Oh, prayer is the key, and faith unlocks the door, God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for every door that's been closed, Lord, that you open it up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let us walk victorious in you, God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's like fire shut up in my bones. I feel it in my soul. Hallelujah. Because God is good, church. If you just know how good he was, hallelujah, you would change your life. You would change the way you walk and the way you talk and your way of living, because the man is good, and he's good all the time. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, he has an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Oh, and his mercy endures forever. Let Psalm say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. Oh, praise him. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him with a dance. Hallelujah. Praise him on the organ, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. People just praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. He made man to praise him and to serve him. Hallelujah. And God, we thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. And God, oh, yes, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day that you have made. And we're rejoicing and we're glad in it, God. Oh, yes, God. And God, we can't do no more. We ask you to give us a home around your throne and let the works that we do speak for us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.